Hello. It's been a week since I last recorded an episode on the podcast series, and why the fuck are my headphones not working? One sec. Oh, there we go. It's been a week since the last episode, which was quite a dark episode on reflection. I've actually just gone back recently and added a new trigger warning because I realised how upsetting certain parts of it were. And I was a little bit embarrassed, actually. I felt a bit embarrassed. I had a few people message me like, hey, you should probably remove it. It's quite dark. It kind of exposes you quite a lot it sort of exposes your vulnerability quite a lot. But then I thought, well, firstly, that's the kind of purpose of this series, like taking one from the team, really, like trying to get this to a normal point in society. And unfortunately, I'm the test subject, but I'm happy to do that because I'm fucking sick and tired of not having to deal with it in society. Not just about me, but how it affects everything. How it affects everything in our life. Like, you know, so like, for example, I don't want to lose track of what I'm trying to say, but for example, you know, people are very shy and very, you know, they're worried about talking about how they really feel mentally. So instead they make rash decisions or make decisions they probably don't want to do, which affects other people in turn and then affects them in turn. Like, there's so many variables in society as to why not being open and honest is disruptive. Disruptive to our society, but also destructive. And I think there's like, it's something to make note of. So yeah, point is, someone said to me, oh, maybe you should delete that. You haven't got to show all that side of you. And I said, well, I don't know. I would rather just be honest about it and just be open. Even though on reflection, I felt a little bit ashamed. I felt like a bit of a pussy. And that's a problem. That's a problem with society, though, isn't it? I feel like a pussy. I listen back to it like, what a pussy. But that is part of the problem. So there we go. Someone else said to me, hey, it's quite distressing. I don't think it's helpful or healthy for your listeners. Which, you know, was a fair enough point. But I've never stated to be a self-help platform or stated to be a practice doctor or mental health specialist. I can't diagnose anyone. The whole purpose of this podcast is to highlight a journey from A to B. I just wanted to start this podcast to, one, try and change the way the conversation is held in the UK. I couldn't pronounce that word very well. The way the conversation is held in the UK amongst people in our society, but also to kind of, hopefully, to, once I've kind of mapped this journey out, definitely after a year, I'll be really fascinated to listen back and see the steps I've taken to get from A to B. And then, maybe then, I can start to look at what's been helpful and what's not been helpful, because I'm essentially like journaling my life, but I've never really done this properly before. So I'll be interested to see how I feel in a year, because the way I feel after just a couple months is crazy. But anyway, so yeah, had a few people message me. So I was like, I'll change the disclaimer on the last episode. But what this episode is about is actually about what's happened in the last 7 days since I recorded that and how am I feeling now, what's going on, etc. Now, certain topics that I'm going to be discussing are real. Everything's real. So I'm doing my best here to avoid, well, I am not going to include any names or any giveaways or anything like that, because I just want to be really straight up with what I've done in the last 7 days, but I don't want to sort of put anyone in the firing line or sort of, you know, let me have a sip of tea quick. Hold on. So, okay. That Sunday was dark. That was a fucking dark day for me. Listening back as well, I can hear it in my voice. Fuck. It was dark. It was horrible. It was scary. It was worrying. And it wasn't nice to hear. And the fact I've had that online for 7 days is quite worrying. And it's had like 400 listens, sorry. And I feel fucked. Like, you know, that's, I hope people don't feel like that's it, you know? But I'm just hoping that people understand what I'm doing this for, you know? So that Sunday was a dark day. I recorded a podcast and I had a day of just sort of breaking down. Every little thing was just triggering me. So like I was watching Lord of the Rings for fuck's sake and someone said something and I think he started crying my eyes out. I was like, what's going on? Like, I mean, to be fair, Lord of the Rings is quite a sad trilogy, but definitely Return of the King as well. If you know, you know. But honestly, someone said something. I think Samwise Gamgee was like, oh, like I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. And I was just like, oh my God, so sad. But then admittedly, that is a sad scene. But I like cried. Like I was just, then Aragorn made like a speech talking about Men of the West at the gates of Mordor. And I literally was just like, fuck, this is really sad. But it's not. It's not, I've never really cried at that scene in my life. I cry at the end of Lord of the Rings when they're getting on the fucking boat. And when he says, oh, you, my friends, bow to no one. That's sad. I cried then. But the whole point is, when you're in a low place and you're not feeling very good, you're very much like hyper-emotional, I find. Every little thing will trigger you and make you feel a certain way. It's really fascinating, actually. That's when you always know when you're in a dark place, because everything's really, you're really sensitive to everything. Anger, happiness, sadness, like everything will kind of trigger you. Confusion, even. But yeah, so I sort of watched a bit of Lord of the Rings, felt really emotional. Then I'm pretty sure I went for a walk and I chatted to my friend on the phone. He's a good guy. He called me up. He knew I wasn't doing very well. And we spoke on the phone for about an hour. And that was quite nice, actually. And then I got home and I played some World of Warcraft. I think what I do, I tend to get like really immersed in online role-playing games when I feel really low, because it actually like sucks me into a new world and I get immersed in a different way. And I think that's quite important, because same for a TV show. I always need to have a TV show in my life as well, because I find it so important to have a medium of immersion in your life. Definitely when it's like this, when life is shit and you can't do anything, you need a TV show. A long one as well, an encapsulating one as well, like one that can really draw you in. And like a game, like if you play games, great. I'm not just saying like multiplayer online shooters. I'm saying like an actual like story-based game that can encapsulate you. Very important sometimes. If you're getting immersed in another world and you're following a set of characters that you care about, I'll tell you one thing, you care more about their well-being than yours. And I don't mean that in a disruptive way, sorry. Let me explain what I'm trying to explain. But like when you follow, let's say, for example, so I've been watching Stranger Things, right? Well, I've just finished it, but I've rewatched it. And without giving any spoilers away, for example, those who know Stranger Things, I watched, you know, watch season one and I get really like into Hopper's storyline, who's like a character from season one, this police officer who's like had some trouble in the past. And like, I really care about him and like, I follow the journey. And then suddenly like you stop thinking about yourself for a second and you're thinking about someone else. And because you're so distracted thinking about someone else, and it's just a made up character on a TV show, suddenly you come to your senses like, oh, I haven't thought about that bad thing that I was thinking of like an hour ago. Now, take what you will from that. But the purpose of that is actually, well, your brain is then starting to recognize that that is not a serious problem if you can forget about it for an hour. I'm going to really talk about this, actually. This is a really good, maybe for another episode. I'll do it now quick. Okay, interesting fact for a lot of people. Sorry, I'm going to stay on tangent as much as I can, but interesting fact. So when your brain, when you think about trauma, right? And there's something really dark going on. Let's say like an ex-girlfriend or whatever. You had something really dark happen to you and like every day you think about it, right? You remember every day. Like there's not a day that goes past that you don't think, oh, I need to think about that thing that happened to me, right? Very normal counter response as a human. Now, the thing is, the more, and people say like time is a healer. Well, for that reason it is, because when you are distracted with life, and this is kind of going back to the immersion of a TV show, right? It's almost like a shortcut sometimes, but a healthy shortcut. And that's what I'm trying to explain in this point. But let's say like after a year of like having quite a traumatic breakup or whatever, a year later, you'll be going about your life. And then suddenly you'll be like, hold on a minute. I haven't thought about that girl in like 2 days or like 2 hours. Like what? And at that point, you can take what you will from that. You can think to yourself, oh, well, I'm going to think about it now because I'm sad. Or you're going to be like, oh, that's, yeah, I guess I'm sort of time's moving on. Regardless of whatever, however you perceive it, your brain at that stage has absolutely recognized that this is no longer a threat. And you're teaching your brain that you can forget. It's such an important tool in our arsenal. You can forget, you can move on with things in your life, 100%. Bad relationships, bad breakups, trauma from years ago. There is always light at the end of the tunnel with that, because your brain can be stupid at times, don't get me wrong, but it's also fucking very smart, as we all know. But the thing is, if you can teach your brain to forget, your brain will forget. Anyway, I actually learned that from a therapist, so that's a bit of inside therapy info. Anyway, back to the main point at hand. My friend called me on Sunday. It was nice. We were chatting away. I went home, played some World of Warcraft, got immersed into a video game, went to sleep, woke up, worked from home, had quite a tough day. A lot of things went wrong. But then, as the day went on, I sat down for a moment, pondered in my bedroom, and I sat down and thought to myself, yeah, I don't want to keep doing this anymore. This is fucking shit. And I don't want to kill myself either, because that's also fucking shit. So what can I do to make my situation better? Well, okay, let's list out a plan. So this is where the episode really begins. This is me listing out what I've done in the last 7 days. Because I'll be honest with you right now, I feel really good. I don't feel like incredible, but I feel really stable and in control, which is almost like a placebo, because we're never really in control. But when I say in control, I mean I'm doing stuff that's fulfilling my mindset's needs, which makes me feel like I have control over how I feel. So, first things first, number one, I started to face things head on. This is like quite a big thing for me. Last couple of weeks, the reason I've been slipping and slipping and slipping is that more and more tasks were building up, whether they're personal tasks, like personal finance and just like life stuff, whatever, or if it was like personal admin stuff, or if it's work stuff, because I've got like a day job, then I've also got like stuff on the side that I do in music and other bits and the podcast and stuff and whatever. So the thing is that I just got to that point where I just let all these things build up and they just became very overwhelming. And before I knew it, I just had no energy to like tackle any of these tasks, because the list was like a mountain. I just couldn't face it. I was really, really, really not ready to face it. So that was a problem for me, a big problem. And that sort of built, yeah, like I said, it kind of towered. It really did tower over me, which was really difficult. But again, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, I don't really feel, you know, the best way of putting it is that I started this week just like, I'm going to do every single task as it comes to my head now. And I just started writing down all my tasks again, as small as they were. I wrote everything down and I did it there and then. Every little thing that came to my mind, I didn't put anything off. If I had to reply to an email, I replied to an email. If I had to reply to someone on WhatsApp, I replied to someone on WhatsApp. If I had to change my sheets, I changed my sheets. Clean my bathroom. Like, if I was going to make lunch, I was going to make lunch. If I was going to do this, have a shower, I was going to have a shower. I've just said that. But the point is, I just started doing stuff there and then as it came. If I was downstairs in my kitchen making dinner and there was stuff that needs to be done, like chores, rather than just sitting down, I would be like, right, I'm going to just empty this bin. I'm going to do this. I'm going to just wash this cup up. I'm going to do this and that. I just chained it. I started chaining my actions, and my actions became a counter chain where I chained certain things, and then mentally I started to chain things in my head. It's so hard to articulate, but it was like a spell. It was just literally going from, it was energy was just going, and I'm not someone who really talks about energy and stuff. It's not really my style, but energy was kind of flowing from me into the task, from that task into another thing around that task. And in turn, my mind was kind of being flowed, like there was energy flowing through my mind. I can't even articulate it again, but yeah, basically just not putting stuff off really, really helped. That was a massive step for me. That was number one. That was just like taking every day as it came, but also just trying to crack on with tasks as they came. And just doing the right thing, just trying to do stuff differently, you know? Like I thought to myself, I'm sick of just like putting stuff off, so I'm just going to do it. And also, I think a lot of my issues, why I felt so low, were building up in the workplace, where I had a lot of important emails and important conversations that were ongoing. I can't really go into too much information here because it's quite sensitive quite a sensitive topic. I can't talk about it too much, but there's been loads of stuff happening at work, like projects that we're working on, like big, big, big projects. And the pressure on me has been absolutely fucking going nuts. And it's been really tough. And stuff's been going wrong and I'm having to make it better. And then people are shouting at me and then people are sort of getting angry at me and it's really tough. And I just kept being like, no, no, no. It's almost like a child putting his hands on his ears, closing his eyes, like stop, 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 stop. That's kind of how I felt at work for the last month. And then this week I was like, fuck this. fuck this. I'm sick of this shit. So I literally was just like, I'm going to just start replying to everyone. I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm just going to do it. So I just did everything I needed to do. I just literally did every single thing and just pushed it out there. And literally that made me feel really good because you can't predict what they're going to say. I thought, okay, this is going to end in tears. This is not going to go well. But all the replies I got, like, was good. It was positive. I was like, okay, cool. This is good to know. I feel good now. So that was number one. Number two, I just started changing stuff up a bit more. I just started to do like more walks and stuff. Yeah, I always go out for walks anyway, but even the weather was quite shit. I was just aiming for my 10,000 steps a day. Made me feel really good about myself. And I really enjoyed that, which was really important. That's just a little one. That's just a little point. But I just started going for more walks and stuff, like day and night. I just kind of liked it. I just like getting my steps in. Little 5,000 steps in the daytime, 5,000 at night. Felt good. Okay, and the third thing was I started to meditate again. Admittedly, only 3 times this week, but I meditate for 20 minutes at a time. And yeah, it's really, really helpful, actually. I really, really enjoy it. I put it off for ages. But I started to meditate again and it feels really good. I put it off about 2-3 weeks. So starting to build a routine, like a bedtime, because I meditate in the evening, which is quite different for some people, but I like sort of ending the day meditating and then getting into bed feeling quite good. But that's been really helpful, trying to understand my mindset a bit more and trying to slow my thinking down. It's been really good. Again, I'm very, very inexperienced still. I've only been doing it this year properly. So yeah, I'm getting there. And I haven't even done a consistent, like 2 weeks before. I've only done a consistent 10 days. So I need to, I've never done like the 60-day challenge, which is what a lot of people say is recommended for being good with meditation, doing 60 days in a row. But that to me is like, really, I can't ever do that, I don't think. But I should. All I need to do is do it in the morning. Like, it's not that deep. Just change it up. Because doing it at night is like really long. It's like, oh, I've got to meditate now. But I just want to get into bed and watch Stranger Things or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I need to change that up. But yeah, meditation's been really helpful. Thirdly, I started going back into my getting back into my food again because I became really lazy with food and started doing like loads of oven shit. Not like oven shit's bad, but I'm just saying like frozen stuff, you know? And then, but I'm a really sick chef. Like I'm not amazing, but I'm good. Like I like cooking food. So I started to plan all my meals again. And I got really back on that. I literally was just like, right, I'm going to do all my meals this week. So I spent time cooking like really good food and preparing it. And that made me feel really good mentally, actually, like massively. So yeah, I'm very thankful for that. Coming up to the fourth point, I think. Did I say the fourth already? No, it's the fourth point, I believe. This is quite a sensitive topic for myself. One of the biggest revelations I've had the last couple of weeks is I'm really not ready to date, and I've had a string of failed dating experiences in the last 6 months, and it's been quite sad because at the moment there's a correlation between me and girls that I date, and the correlation is that it never really ends on nice terms. And I used to think, oh, well, I don't know what's going on. Like, it's obviously not me. No. But upon reflection this year, it's definitely started to realise that I'm probably part of the problem. And that's been quite a hard thing to admit. But also, I think it's good to be honest about it. I've just started to realise more and more like how this is a problem for me because, for example, you know, I've dated like a couple girls this year through the sort of easing off lockdown time, sort of summertime. And I just never know what I want. So in turn, I either lead someone on, unintentionally trying to lead them on, like, don't get me wrong. I just, my mind is almost like the angel devil where the angel in me is like, hey, this girl's amazing and she's great. You really like her. But then the other, and it's not even angel devil. It's just left and right, to be honest. It's not that, like, it's not like some Stark Jekyll and Hyde shit. Like, don't get me wrong. But one side of me is like, this is great. This is like amazing. This girl's amazing. Like I can see a future with her. She's like beautiful and lovely. Then the other part of me is like, I don't think you're ready to be with someone. You've got so much shit to sort out. Like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing, mate? And I kind of go into it more sided on the left first, as in the sort of one who's encouraging me to do it. And then the more it goes on, it's like the other side of me is like screaming in the corner, like, mate, can you not fucking hear what I'm trying to tell you? Like, this is not good. You shouldn't be doing this. Like, you've got enough on your plate and now you're trying to date someone. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Then the other part of me is like, yeah, but like, she's great. She's really nice. Like, oh, she's like perfect. Da-da-da. Perfect doesn't exist. But you know what I mean? She's like amazing. And then like, that's the problem. I'm contrasted. And in turn, it kind of blows up in my face where I'm like, hey, I don't even know what I want, actually. Then it's like, fuck, they're like, well, fuck off then. And it's happened so many times. It's happened twice this year. It's just like, fuck me. And I think that was bringing me down, because a part of me loves the idea of a relationship on paper, but another part of me is like, you're not ready because you are not very happy on your own. Like, you don't love yourself at all. And you finding a relationship now, in theory, is actually that person that you could potentially date is going to come out worse, because you're living a lie to yourself and you're kind of using her for that validation of self-love for yourself, which is true. So that was a bit of an eye-opener the last couple of weeks, and I think that really made me feel down. And then, so yeah, all the girls that I, well, I say all the girls, there was two girls this year that I was, I say dating, like one or two dates, because we couldn't really do much in lockdown anyway. Just hasn't ended nicely. It's just like, there's no contact. It's just no chat, you know, just understandable, probably for the best. I understand it, you know, and they're probably both, I actually walked past one the other day on a date. So, and we don't chat at all anymore, but we chatted for a while, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. So she's with someone now. And then, someone else that I was sort of dating, briefly, I think is probably with someone else now. Because these girls understand what they want. They know what they want. And then I don't know what I want. And in turn, I'm just ruining it for myself and ruining it for them. And I'm just wasting their time. I think that was a bit of a realization. So what's actually happened now is, I have decided to take a massive step back from girls and dating. The only thing I'm going to seek at the moment, if I'm honest, is something casual. Like, when things get back to normal, casual stuff, that's fine with me, like, you know, but nothing further than that, I don't think, for the foreseeable, I don't think, at all. That's been bringing me down a lot. Girls have caused me a lot of stress in my life because I've let it happen like that. It's been my fault, it's my doing for that reason. So yeah, I'm trying to sort of change the way that's kind of perceived and make a bit of a difference there. But I think it takes a bit of a realization for that to happen in the first place. So yeah, I definitely think there's that was something that I needed to address 100%. But you know, I don't know, it's hard to articulate. I haven't written anything down for this episode. I just wanted to be really honest and straight up and raw about it. But yeah, I think sometimes we need to look within and see what's actually causing us problems. And this week has been a week of realization. And someone actually messaged me from the podcast and said, hey, remember your butterfly theory, like your rock bottom theory, you come back stronger each time. Bang, that person is 100% correct. Someone else did the same thing to me as well. And then light at the end of the tunnel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's very true. These are all real things. And I completely agree. So with that being said, this week has been a week of realizations and self-truths. And just kind of hard truths as well. Like, okay, I'm probably the problem in a lot of my relationships. I should probably stop dating. Oh, I should probably stop like chatting to girls. Oh, I should probably like, do you know what I mean? Like, little things that I started to recognize in myself. And so, yeah, now I'm just like, okay, you want something casual. And if someone ever like tries to like go for a drink with you, or tries to, or you meet out and they're like, oh, we should go for a drink sometime, whatever. Just be very, very, very straight up and be like, hey, yeah, cool. Like, I'm not looking for a relationship just now, but yeah, happy to sort of be casual and see where it goes. And just alleviate the pressure there and then, regardless if anyone's putting pressure on you. I think it's on yourself as well, just so you know that you've been honest with yourself and this person. Anyway, So that's another thing that I've really dealt with this week. And I've also gone to the office a couple of times, and that's felt quite nice, like coming in and actually seeing people and having some actual routine of like walking into town and back. It's been quite nice, definitely in Brighton when the weather's nice. But yeah, so some hard truths that I've been facing, and yeah, there's some other sort of big career things that have happened this week, which have been quite good. My own doing as well. So not just like random shit, but I've been working hard at some stuff, and some stuff really coming through now, and it's nice to see that. So I do feel good about it. I'm getting some small wins now on a daily. I just need to remember not to get back to how I was before, but I most likely will one day be back where I was before, because that's just part of life. We go through the rock bottom effect numerous times, but every time we come out stronger with more knowledge learned. And hopefully this podcast series will be able to highlight that as time goes on, because I'm trying to show people that there is a journey and there is a sort of narrative to your mental health. Not everything's just random stuff. Everything's there for a reason. If you feel anxious about something, if you have anxiety right now, you don't know what it is there for a reason. And you're either suppressing the truth of where it's coming from, the true form of where it's coming from, or it's right in front of your eyes, but you just don't think about it. So really try and look within. If you ever feel a certain way, that's your mind creating a defense mechanism for us and for you to essentially help you. So, oh, sorry, that was disgusting. I had a sip of tea and it's cold. I'm just going to pour some water quick. Well, so, yes, I do think, sorry, ignore this. This is very, like, this is very unprofessional. Anyway, sorry, just choking to death on my water. So, yes, just to conclude, because I think I don't want to go on for too long in this episode. I want to be quite short and sweet about it. I've made changes, little changes. When I start to feel a certain way now, I straight away look within and try and identify where it comes from. Oh, I feel a bit shit now. What's the reason? Maybe it's because of this. Like, sorry, that sounds really, that's such stupid advice. But the point is, just recognizing what's a problem for me and what's not a problem. And this recent rock bottom has made me realize what needs to change. And day by day, things are slowly improving because of that. I'm not putting too much pressure on myself. I'm trying to make changes where's needed. So, like I said to you, doing tasks as they come in, not letting stuff build up. I definitely notice my anxiety and my like, really severe anxiety really like go through me when I have, and this is quite a conjunct, this is quite a, I shouldn't really be saying this, but I don't think anyone from my job really listens to this at this stage, but you know, when my boss has put this pressure on me and they're like, I think this is a bit of a problem, you should change this, this and this. And at that stage, I've already gone out of my way to like make it happen with an individual. And then suddenly it's like, now I've got to go back to that individual because my boss has told me to, and I've got to change everything. And they'll think I'm just messing them around and whatever. And I can feel my anxiety surge. It literally surges and I get hot and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. I just can't face this. And nowadays, well, I say nowadays, fucking hell, like the last couple of days, I've just decided to be like, right, fuck it, draft the email and go, or give them a ring and just tell them and just be like, look, I'm being so honest. So that's been a massive help. Oh, another thing that I've been doing as well, I've been reading this book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, and it's really fascinating. It's about changing your values in life. And this has been great for me, actually. I'm going to kind of finish this podcast on this point, really, but this book's really helpful. It's by a guy called... oh, fuck. What's his name? Matt. Oh, no. Anyway, I'll get his name. I should really have his name written down somewhere, but I don't. And I think I should. Ignore that. Mark Mason is his name. Sorry. Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Really great book. He has basically taught us, he teaches you about values in your life, and that a basic human will have values of success and fame and money and love, like love/sex, you know what I mean? And actually all these values are wrong because you can't measure success. You can't really measure love and sex. You can't, you kind of can, but the point he's trying to make is that all these things are like not up to you. Like what we need to do is make our values in our control. And this is a really great bit of advice. So the key values he says that we should follow, I've actually written them down here on my calendar as a permanent reminder. And I'm going to just read them in the order that he says they should be. responsibility, as in taking responsibility for your actions, whether or not they're your fault or not. And this is really fascinating because little things like, for example, me getting mugged 10 years ago, he's basically saying, I need to be responsible for how I feel about that. Not so it's not like saying you're to be blamed. It's not a blaming game. It's about taking responsibility. And actually, in turn, before even reading this book, I've realized over the last 10 years, I have taken responsibility for that because I've used that to my advantage to be a better person and be more streetwise when out and about. And I can identify dangerous situations more. And I'm really glad that I got mugged. That's me taking responsibility for how I feel about it. I could have alternatively felt shit about it for 10 years and really let it take over my mind and my life and not leave the house. But instead, I took responsibility in my own hands in a different way. Another value here, value number two, uncertainty. This is fucking genius. The idea of just being okay with everything being uncertain. We aren't gods. We can't predict what's going to happen next. You saying, I'm going to do this, and I might get a job in London. Okay, cool. That could happen, absolutely. But it might not happen, and you'll be disappointed if it doesn't happen. So in turn, having uncertainty as a value is really powerful because it means that you're okay with just not knowing what's next. And that's really good. Fucking value. Number three, failure. Fuck, that's genius. Like being okay to fail at stuff. I failed last week when I hit rock bottom, but that's cool because I've learned from my mistakes and it probably won't happen again in the same way. Yes, rock bottom may happen again, but failure will be in a different sense next time. It will be in a different thing, different topic. It's a really great thing to think about. And then number four is rejection. So being okay with being rejected, whether it's like people writing books and getting rejected with their books, or people getting rejected by friends and girls and women and whatever, and men and business ideas and everything else and job applications. The idea of just being okay with rejection and just riding with it and using that to your strength for next time. Again, I'm probably not explaining these values very clearly, but it's really helped me. And the last one here is contemplation of one's own mortality. Genius. Number five. Like, that's a fucking great point. The idea of like, understanding that we're not going to live forever. So what can we do to make every day count? Like, really genius things here. If something's wrong now, then let's make a change. Like, we're not going to live forever. And the reason this book's so powerful is that it really talks about the idea that as a society now, we're all told to be exceptional. When actually, like, humans can't be exceptional. Like, we can't. If everyone's exceptional, that means we're all pretty fucking average. And being average is okay. I think we're taught to be, like, superhuman. But actually, being average is a really good thing for humans. That's how we work best. Anyway, I want to conclude it here. I just wanted to explain that part of the book. That's been helpful as well. It's the sort of first book that I've been reading out and out loud. I've been like, yes, fuck, I get it. Come on, Mark. Like, yeah, I have that reaction. But anyway, let me conclude it here. I just wanted to let everyone know that I'm doing good and that hopefully if you are in the same position, that you will be feeling good too. Just making positive changes and small steps in your life to make things better. And hopefully from here on out, we can sort of see how the conversation moves and maybe the conversation will be a little bit more upbeat as we move forward. So let's see how it goes. But again, thank you for everyone who listens to the podcast and supports it and for sort of being there since day one, a lot of you. So yeah, thanks again. And yeah, okay, cool. I'm going to leave it here, but I'll see you on the next one.